Okay, Rabosei, as promised, we are going to start with the Gemara. The Gemara says, Atu gzeilos hachavolos lavdi nimam nizdenu. They have started a pshat question on the Mishnah. The Mishnah is dinimam nish b'slosha, and gzeilos hachavolos b'slosha. The gzeilos hachavolos are merely a subcategory of dinimamnus. So why are they listed separately? So we have, we'll see, between Bezim and Aleph, Bezim and Aleph, two different pshatim and how to read the Mishnah, although they agree to the same thing halachically. Right, basically, everyone's going to agree that zeilos v'chavolos needs mumchen and hodas v'avos do not need mumchen. The machloksim Rabbi Abba who's here and Rava later is just going to be how to read that into the Mishnah. So Rabbi Abba says mahein katani mahein dine mamnos zeilos v'chavolos, that the Gemara is saying dine mamnos v'shlosha only zeilos v'chavolos. Avalodos v'avos, lo, but not hodos v'havos. Okay, what are hodos v'havos? So Rashi just two pshatim. Either it means hodos, he admits he borrowed money, halvos, I have witnesses he borrowed money, or it means hodos v'havos, hodos, he admits partially, part of the money he owes me, and halvos, he denies all the money he owes me. But either way, it's referring to, there's not a halach machlokas in the two interpretations, it's referring to all accusations of not paying back money. And as Rashi explained in the Mishnah, we saw not paying back money is not what's called zeilos. Utsricha. So why do we need, if it's just mahin katani, so why not just skip the middleman and start with zeilos v'chavolos? No, the itan dini mamonos havmina filo dos v'alvolos. Tanik zeilos v'chavolos. Okay, if you had said the broader category, you would have thought it included everything. So only zeilos v'chavolos need shlosha at this point. The itan zeilos v'chavolos, lo katani dini mamonos havmina, who had din da filo hodos v'avos, v'adik ton exeals v'chavos, shum de'ikr gimel d'chziv v'exeals v'chavos k'zivi. So if it had said dini mamnos, we would have thought about everything. If it had said exeals v'chavos, we would have also thought about everything. It was using one example, and we were meant to extrapolate. Why would it use that example? Because that's where it says in the pasuk. The pasuk says, v'nikr v'al v'ayis el Elohim, we'll see later on, the repetition of Elohim means three, and the word Elohim means mumchim, right? Elohim is means not just any shmo, but, I mean, the simple pshat of Elohim does not mean God, but it means someone with proper authority, a mumchen. It means an authority figure, not just a stam person. And Gimel is written by Gzeilos HaChavolos. Why? Gzeilos dichsev v'nikra balabais el Elohim. It's written by Gzeilos as it says, v'nikra balabais Elohim. What's the case? That's not a case of not paying back a loan. That's a case where I give you a pikadon, and you don't give it back, and I accuse, according to our text, Rashi and Mishnah, I accuse you of having stolen it yourself, shlichus yad. So I'm accusing you of shlichus yad. That's gzeila. Or according to the Aruch Lener's emendation of Rashi and the Mishnah, kofer b'pikadon. Even if I don't accuse you of having taken it yourself, I just accuse you of not being willing to give it back and denying it. That's also gzeilos. Okay, it works for either pshat and Rashi, either way you take Rashi and the Mishnah. Okay, that's where it's written by gzeilos, an accusation of gzeila, and chavolos, malichav l'gufo, malichav mamono. What about chavolos? Well, gzeilos is really just chavola in mamon. So the assumption is that chavolos and gzeilos should be equivalent because unlike just not paying something back, you actually damage someone actively. You hurt them, either by taking their property or by injuring them. So therefore, obviously, you need gimel. But you might have thought they just brought the pasuk, but we're meant to extrapolate. So tana, mayin dini mamnos, gzeilos v'chavolos, avodos v'avos, los. That's why I have to say dini mamnos, of which dini mamnos, only gzeilos v'chavolos, not avodos v'avos. Okay, that's his pshat in the Mishnah. And we'll see, everyone's going to agree to this halacha, that there's a difference in avodos v'avos and gzeilos v'chavolos. We'll just see in another amud, there's a different way of reading the Mishnah. But the Gemara analyzes, what is the difference between gzeilos v'chavolos and avodos v'avos? Ulemai. Ilei medol v'yin shlosha. If you say that you don't need shlosha, and then we'll see, according to other Amorah, maybe that would work out. But if you say, who was talking here? It was Rabbi Abahu talking, right? Amar Rabbi Abahu. If you say, according to Rabbi Abahu, the difference is gzeilos v'chavolos need shlosha, dini mamnos v'shlosha, who needs shlosha? Only gzeilos v'chavolos need shlosha, not avodos v'avos, can't be. Why? Rabbi Yom himself says that all the Tanaim agree that a bezin of two that judges any dini mamonis is invalid. You need three for all dini mamonis, even odos valvos. So that can be the difference. Ela delobin and mumchen, right? And that's really the truth. Now we've reached the truth, right? All the Avaram and Arsugya agree to this truth. You mean Mumchin, which is, we're not going to get into Rashi now, but let's assume that's the equivalent of not what we call Smicha, what they originally called Smicha. You need Mumchin for Gzeilos or Havalos, and you don't need Mumchin for Hoda'os ve'Halvaos. That seems to be the shot of the Gemara. Now they're just going to analyze why that is, right? Why is there a difference in Gzeilos or Havalos and Hoda'os ve'Halvaos? So Ma'ika Savar, what does he hold? Ika Savar, Irav Parshios Gzeilos of Kan Liboy Nami Mumchin. If he holds, remember, where did we get Gimel Mumchin? Gimel Mumchin came from Elohim. Elohim was written by Gzelos. So if the Erev Parshios, there's an admixture of hope of Halvaos with Gzelos, then just like you need three by Hodos, because it's mixed in with Gzelos, you should need Mumchin by Hodos, because it's mixed in with Gzelos. Right? Liboy Nami Mumchin. The Iksavar Ein Erev Parshios Kashuv Kan, Shlo Shalamali. And if there's no Erev Parshios, there's no mixture in the Parsha between Halvaos and Gzelos, then, just like you can't extend Mumchin from Zelos to Halvaos, you also shouldn't be able to extend Shlosha. So, Mimanavshah, if Halvaos is a separate Parsha, you should only need one Hedyot. And if it's mixed into the Parsha, you should need three Mumchin. But there's no logic, Midoraisa, for, there's no logic, Midoraisa, for Dos Halvaos to need three Hedyotos. So, the Gemara answers, Li Olum Kasavar Erev Parshios Kasav Kan. Uvidin hud liboy nami mumchin. Really, Erev Parshios Kasakan. Really, the parshas are mixed in and mida oraisa. There's no difference in Hodos Avos and Gzeilos HaHavos. According to Rabbi Yamahu, Vidin hud liboy nami mumchin. You should need three mumchin. I blow in mumchin, Mishon de Rabbi Chanina. And the reason you don't need mumchin is Rabbanan, because Rabbi Chanina, the Rabbi Chanina, or not because of Rabbi Chanina, but in parallel to Rabbi Chanina, the Amrab Chanina. Dvar Torah, Efed Din Imamnus, Efed Din Fashu Drisha Vachakira, Shenemar, Mishpat Efed Yelachem, Uma Tam Amr Din Imamnus, Lubiyun Drisha Vachakira, Gnei Shal Tinol Dels, Nei Lovin, Mida Raisa Drisha Vachakira, interrogating the witnesses is necessary, both in Din Imamnus and Din Fashu, so it says Mishpat Echad Yelachem, which equates all kinds of Mishpatim, whether capital or merely civil. However, Midrabbanan, they exempted Dine Mamanus and Drisha Vachakira, Gnei Shal Tinol Dels, Nei Lovin, so that we not slam the door in the face of borrowers, that people are willing to make loans. Okay, some of the farshim explain other business dealings as well. Meaning, why would I ever lend you money if to collect it, if you're a bad guy, I'm going to have to bring witnesses, and if they interrogate the witnesses, a lot of witnesses fail interrogation. You know, it's hard to stand up to interrogation. Even if you're right, it's hard to stand up to interrogation. It's very easy to get tripped up. So I won't lend you money because it's basically it makes the whole business system impractical. I can never get anything out of you because they'll always trip up my witnesses. So therefore, I'll never lend you money, and that will be a big problem because it's against the Torah. So therefore, they made a takana that Dini Mamanus and stole money at stake. We'll do that. So too here, I'm never going to lend you money because where am I going to find Mumchin? It depends if I live in Beit Vegan, so it's not a big deal. But not all Jews always lived in big mekomos of Torah where there are tons of yeshivas and lots of talmid chachamim. Sometimes you live in a village someplace, or you live in a town which is not so yeshivish, or in Chutz Laaretz, which is where there are no smuchin. Right? I mean, it's not just a matter of amaratzin. I might live in a place where there are people who know Torah, but they're not smuchin if it's in Chutz Laaretz, let's say, and therefore I won't lend you money. So therefore, you're a bum. They said three. You can always find three. How hard is it to find three guys? What are you? You're not Robinson Crusoe. But smuchin is hard to mumchin is hard to find, and therefore they relax that in order that people make loans. Elameata, the Gemara has a question. To'u lo yishalmu. If so, then if these three dayanim make a mistake, they shouldn't have to pay. Now this is a whole sugya which we're going to get to in another three vlats. An authorized dayan doesn't have to pay if he makes a mistake. Part of the authorization is that he can't be held responsible to pay if he messes up because he was authorized. An unauthorized dayan has to pay if he makes a mistake. That's clear in the Gemara later. So the Gemara says, hold on, if so, then why should he have to pay because he's unauthorized? Now, what's the question here? So the Machlok is Rashi and Tosos what the question is. Rashi says the question is, if so, that the Rabbanan allowed non-mumchin hedyotos, won't the Rabbanan allow you? You're authorized. You shouldn't be held responsible. You're just as authorized as the smuchin. The Chachamim authorized you. Once your parents were authorized by the Chachamim, So why should you have to pay? You're authorized. According to Tosos, the question is, if so, that our main concern. So Rashi, the elmi after, if so, that the Chachamim authorized you. For Tosos, they wanted the elmi after to be a little more reduyek, as well as flow better into what came beforehand. Most Rishonim argue that Rashi flow better into what came after. Elmi after, now that we've made this specific kiddush of Ne'ilas Delis, if the reason is Ne'ilas Delis, the point is we want to make it easy for people to sue by being able to find a bezdin. But if the Dayanim are always afraid of having to pay for malpractice, no one will ever agree to be on a bezdin, and you won't be able to make a bezdin if people won't lend money. So if we're worried about people not lending money, we should exempt the dayanim from malpractice so that people will be willing to volunteer to be on a bezdin. Okay, one of those two pshatim. Either way, the answer is, kol shekein to noel delos b'tei lovin. For Rashi, the question is, if they're authorized, shouldn't they be putter for malpractice? The answer is no, because that will be a worse problem. I mean, the Kolshkin is not as good, but I mean, it'll be a big problem. Why? Because if I know judges are exempt from malpractice, I'll never lend you money. So I'll say, maybe the judges will pass in wrong, and then I'll be stuck. I won't be able to sue them for malpractice. So therefore, if you want people to be able to engage in commerce, and especially lending, you need to have a judicial system people rely on. And people will only rely on the judicial system if the judges feel accountability, and if there's recourse if the judges mess up. So therefore, for the sake of Ne'ilas Delis, we have to be mechayev these judges, to make sure people have faith that they can sue and get the money they deserve, and even if they don't, the judges will make it up to them in a malpractice suit.
This is the same reason about Prisbol. But Prisbol, you hear about it all the time. They never bring this down as a case where they're one room to cock in on halvos so that people should still be able to borrow money.
It's a great question. I think the reason why this doesn't, Prisbol is always mentioned in all the hashkafic debates, et cetera, I think the reason is because Prisbol is more of a purely philosophically, I think, without getting to lundus, Prisbol is more a philosophical chiddush, because the Torah said a whole din of shmitas ksafim for a very good reason, and the Chachamim went and uprooted an entire mitzvah from the Torah. That's philosophically very radical, and that's why people like to debate, is that precedent for being very radical in our approach to halacha or not. Over here, when it comes to the Mamche, they changed, tweaked one little detail. They didn't uproot an entire paragraph from the Torah. And therefore, since all they did is tweak one detail, so philosophically, it's not as, it's not as resonant. So I think that's why we never hear about it.
Maybe a trivial question.
Mm-hmm.
Later on in the sugya, when the Gemara says that you need three in the second terus, the Gemara says that amongst three, one of them should be a Mamche.
That is not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says one of them should be Gomer.
Okay.
Doesn't say one of them will be a Mumch. It says one of them will be Gomer. Gomer doesn't mean you have smicha. Gomer means that, basic Torah.
So that's how we would understand, because here we're saying that Mumch means...
Correct. Smicha. Yes. Okay. Good. Now, just a few more technical details before we get into the main lumdus that I wanted to discuss today. There's a Rashi, Erev Parshas Kosov Khan really gets into all the heart of the lumdus of, who was here for Shnayim Ochsin? That was quite a number of years ago. I don't know if anyone was in the Shira then. Were you in the Shira when we learned Bava Metzia?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got into Modim Mimiktas and really gets to the heart. We spent a lot of time analyzing this Rashi and Tosos, etc. This is not really the place for it now. We're not going to get into all the lumdas of Shuas Modim Mixas and Toim V'netan, but just for Pashut Shat to know what Erev Parshas Kosov Khan means, my Tosos here says, look what I wrote in Bava Kama. In Bava Kama, he went more in depth and got into a lot of other details and aspects of it. But the Chiddush Yaron here, I just take the Chiddush Yaron. Next, the Chiddush Yaron has a special shita, just because he did a nice job of summarizing it without saying too little and without saying too much, but. I mean, nothing special about the Ran. He just summarized Machlokas. So Machlokas between Rashi and most of the Rishonim. What is the Machlokas of Erev Parshios Kosov Khan? What does Erev Parshios mean? We have a pasuk that says, Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh. Yeah, I'm not dealing with Shuda Shonim. I'm dealing with the way we understand this pasuk halachically. Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh means Motiv Mitzas. Asher Yomar, meaning the defendant says, Ki Huzeh, yes, I admit. What if yes, I admit? If the defendant admits, then you don't have a court case. It means the defendant admits partially. If the defendant admits partially, then ad Elohim yavod bar shehem, meaning what we've just said, v'nikra balavais Elohim lo shalach yadom lesri'ehu, and we see from parallel psukim a little bit later, v'nikra balavais Elohim zloshon shvua, when is there shvua in a case of motive mitzvahs? That's the principle of ki hu zeh motive mitzvahs. Where is motive mitzvahs written? It's written about shomrim, right? About pikadon. Right in the parsha of Pikadam, right there, right? Ki yitein ish ha-chaveru, kesef ha-zim l'shmar v'gunam v'beis ha-ish, im yishalem v'gunam v'shalem shayit, etc., etc., shayu yomar ki hu zeh. It's written about Pikadam, it's not written about halvaos. There's Pikadam and there's milveh. So, Eber Parshu's Kosev Khan is discussing how this din of modem and mitzas, how this parsha interacts. So, what does Eber Parshu's Kosev Khan mean? For Rashi, Rashi says Hashita straight out here. We have ki huzeh equals modeh b'miktas. Rashi says his famous Shita, which is that this mixture of parshios means not a conceptual mixture of parshios. For Rashi, it means a textual cut and pasting mixture of parshios. Right, Rashi's, he's saying the parshas were written out of order. This is, okay, this is not a Tanakh shir, but if this was, we would probably point out that Rashi's sheet on Erev Parshas Kosev Khan is probably Lishitase in his approach at all the Chumash, where he stands for the most radical application of the Shita of Ein Mukta Mukhar Batorah. He's really willing to say, right, the Ramban famously argued, he's willing to say, the Torah, it was mamish written out of order, things are always where they don't belong, etc., and you don't even need a very good reason to explain why. It's just somehow Rashi understands that in our Mesora, the Torah was, obviously there must be some reason, right? God doesn't do things without reasons, but as far as we're concerned, when we're learning, it's no problem just take things and put them someplace else and say they belong elsewhere. For Rashi, that's his approach in Chumash. The Ramban very much doesn't like it, right? You know, the Ramban in a few places says, that's ridiculous. How can you say a book's written out of order? Ein Mukta Mukhar Batorah means for literary reasons, sometimes, every book of literature sometimes goes out of chronological order for valid literary reasons, but it doesn't mean it's just jumbled. But Rashi seems to be comfortable with the idea, obviously needs more explanation, but not for now, that the Torah is for some reason out of order and you need to rearrange the psukim to understand them properly. So that's clearly what Rashi does here. What Rashi says is that Rashi says that this phrase is written regarding Pikadon, but it belongs by Milveh in what's the nearest place you find Milveh to the Parsha of Pikadon? Exactly, Mishpatim, and Kesef Talves Ami, right? According to everyone but the Sefer Chinuch, that's in Parsha Mishpatim, right? Sefer Chinuch's town, they started a new Parsha there, but, that's not for us today either. Belonged by Milva in Kesef Talves Ami. Okay, so Rashi says, this pasuk belongs elsewhere. Yeah. Okay, that is a very good point. How is this different from an Eino Inyan Lakan? I think the difference is, an Eino Inyan Lakan means it's written about this and it's true about this. But it's so obvious it's true about this, it must be a hint that it's also true about something else.
Always?
I'm wondering. It's very hard to answer an always question. We have to let's reserve the continuation of this discussion until we resolve that properly. Because we see where we're going. Okay.
No. It's not here.
It doesn't belong.
Doesn't belong here at all.
Right, exactly. And therefore it belongs only. I mean, otherwise it's just a Pasha Ramas. Yeah, it's written here and it also means something else. That's fine. Here it includes something else. That's regular interpretation. Yeah, there's extra words here. So it means not only here, but other things also. And that's not a big fish. Right? No, you take scissors. I mean, obviously not literally. You cut it out of here and you put it someplace else. Okay, yes, Rashi, so why did God write it in such a funny way? I'm sure there's some answer, but Rashi, it doesn't bother Rashi, even if he doesn't have that answer, right? Ein mokum mochem b'Torah, God has his mystical reasons why he wrote the Torah in a jumbled way. It's our job to unscramble it and paskin. Therefore, what's the halacha? The halacha is that in a pikadon, even kofar hakol l'shaya, in milveh, moda b'mitzas l'shaya, and kofar hakol is pater. Now we're already bringing up nostalgic memories of Shnayim Ofsin. Right? And that's what I mean. It's uprooted. In pikadon, there is no principle of and again, I'm not getting to Tosfos Moda Kamadari, Kamadari Vah, just the Pashup Shah, and when I get to Tosfos, there's no principle of Moda Mitzvahs. Even a Kofar Kol is high in Bikadol. Kihu Zeh is uprooted from Bikadol to Gamre, we take it out with scissors, we put it in with glue stick into Kesef Talbeh, and when it comes to Alvos, there, well, Moda Mitzvahs is Chayiv Shvua, I mean Chayiv Shvua, of course, and a kofar kol is potter. That's Rashi. Tosos and the other Rishonim. That's going to be similar in Tosos also. You're right. In that respect, he does, but sort of one of the 3 days in Tosfos in Bava Kama Kuf Zayin. What's the reason, by the way? Anyone remember the reason for the difference between Bikadon and Milva? What did the Gemara say the reason is? That's not what the Gemara says. That's what Rashi says. Because Einad Imei is Panav, Bifnei Balchovo. What's the reason for the difference? So the Gemara says, Ein Adam May is Panav. Bifnei Balchovo. Somehow there's something different about Balchov. That you're not May is Panav. Why is Balchov different? Right? Difference between Balchov and Pikado. Rashi says, Rashi says, because the lender did you a favor. That's the reason for the difference. In the lender did you a favor, but the mafkin did not do you a favor. Remember, we're not talking about a shovel here. We're talking about a shovel chinam. You did him a favor. He didn't do you a favor. But mafkin did not do you a favor. Yes, Adam. So far I'm saying Rashi, no? You have a question? Okay. I could get into a lot more details in terms of Chiyuv Shvuah, which I'm not. I'm just sticking to Pashup Shat and the Erev Parshios. Tosfos and the Rambam, and I mean, there are different days. We're going to stick with the main day of Tosfos and the Rambam, the other Rishonim, say no. They say, Rashi's not Erev Parshios. Rashi's Ikor Parshios. You're uprooting Parshios here. You're cutting and pasting the Bible. That's not the way things work here. We're talking about subtle hints of expanding legal categories, not with cutting and pasting in the biblical text. So, even on a drash level. So Tosfos says that no. What it means is that this pasuk is written by Kikadon, and it's referring to a pikado. Okay, so what's the Erev Parshios? It's referring to a pikado. It's referring to a pikado only, or only the type of pikado dispute that is similar to a milveh. That's what those things. Erev Parshios, there's an admixture. Meaning, this is regular drash. This puzzle with Q's at. You thought it was talking about all pikadon disputes? No, it's only talking about one kind of pikadon dispute. The pikadon dispute that's similar to milveh. It's not talking about a pikadon dispute that's dissimilar to milveh.
Right? Very true. Not to a pikadon dispute, which is dissimilar to milveh. That's just an error parshios,
meaning the model of milveh is mixed in here. And when the Torah says kiuzet, only means pikadon that's like milveh, not pikadon that's unlike milveh. What does he mean by pikadon that's like milveh and not like milveh? So very pushit. If I say, I give you my car to watch. I say, where's my car? What could you say back that would be similar to what a borrower of money could say back? Stolen? Hold on. If I say, where's the $100 I gave you, and you say it's stolen, is that relevant? I say, where's the $100 I lent you? You say it's stolen. What do I say? I say, so pay me back anyway. How's that relevant? I mean, I'll take out my violin. I'll cry if you shed a few tears for you. But that's not halakhically relevant, right? If you borrow money, you have to pay back, even if it's stolen, right? So that's the taina that's dissimilar to milveh. If you say it's stolen, meaning pashup shot, that's why you're pashup shot is the guy saying it was stolen, right? And you ought to say, God, biguna bideisa ish, as Rashi says in Chumash Lefi Devarim. There's a claim of theft. That's dissimilar to milveh. Because in pikadon, there's such thing as theft. But in milveh, there's no such thing as theft. I don't care what happened to the money. You owe me the money. It's your problem if it got stolen. So that's dissimilar to theft. So what are we saying? What we're saying is that in a pikadon, the tainas nignivu or nensu, right? Same thing. Then that's even a kofar hakol is chayav. And that is dissimilar to milveh. Because there's no inyan in milveh of nensu. What's a case of a pikadon which would be similar to milveh, where the guy could make the same exact taina in the case of pikadon and milveh? Lahadam, right? Lahadam, lo hayidvar me'olam. I say I never borrowed it, or you never gave me a car. Or
you took the tire.
Or what's the other thing you could say in both milveh? You could say I never got it from you in the first place. Or Hefzarti, right? I gave it back to you already. That would work. Where's my car? I gave it back to you already. Where's the $100? I gave it back to you already. Those are tainas that are equal in milveh pikadon. They have nothing to do with the specific obligations of shomrim. Just whether it ever happened and whether it ever started, and if it did start, whether it finished.
So pikadon, the tainas lahadam, that stands for lohayu devar me'olam, or hefzarti, that goes the same as milveh. That is the same as milveh. These two things, we say, kofer hakol is potter, and modeh v'miktas is chayav. Right? That's the way Tosos and most Rishonim, obviously there's other details I'm not getting into now. That's the way Tosos and most Rishonim read Eruv Parshios. The model of milveh is mixed in to the parsha of Kihuzeh. We reread the pasuk Kihuzeh based on a comparison to milveh. But it's still about pikadon. We're not uprooting it. We're just rereading the applicability of pikadon based on the parallel to milveh. In which case, what's the difference between a baal chov and a milveh according to Tosos and the other Rishonim? Einod means part of the baal chovo. Why does a person not have chutzpah for a milveh, but does have chutzpah for pikadon? Rashi says, I don't have chutzpah. I know, I'm not even explaining why that's relevant. That's one of the things I'm not getting into. But what Rashi says, there's a difference. And I don't have enough chutzpah to deny it to a milveh, but I do for pikadon. For Rashi, why? A milveh, you lent me money. How could I have the chutzpah to deny you? Pikadon, I did you a favor, so maybe I do have chutzpah to deny you. For Tosos, what's the difference? What's the difference? The difference is not whether you did me a favor or not, because even within pikadon there's a difference. Why do I have chutzpah in one case and not the other case? So therefore, I can't bring myself to deny it, but mafkid, I can bring myself to deny it. For Rashi, it's a matter of akar satov. For Tosos, what's the difference between the two cases? Not akar satov. What do you mean? You gave me a car to watch. What's the difference if I say it was stolen or if I say I gave it back to you? Why do I have more chutzpah in one than the other? So the answer is obvious.
Does the other guy know that
Exactly. It's a matter of whether he knows I'm lying or not. It's much for Rashi. It's much easier to lie to someone you don't know who didn't do you a favor. It's hard to lie to someone that did you a favor. For Tosfos, that might be true, but that's not what's relevant here. It's easy to lie to someone who doesn't know, right? If you don't know, I ask my kid, who took the, you know, who broke the cookie jar? So if I don't know, it's very easy for him to lie. If I tell my kid I saw you break the cookie jar, it's very hard to have a chutzpah to lie if someone saw with his own eyes. So for Tosfos, this is the difference, because in cases of milveh and similar to milveh, he knows I'm lying. As opposed to in Tainas Nensu, if I say something happened to it, he doesn't know I'm lying. Because how would he know if what happened to the car? Meaning the car's not there. How does he know if the car got stolen or if I sold it? And therefore, in case where he knows I'm lying, I can't bring myself to deny it. But in cases where he doesn't know the truth, I can't bring myself to lie. After all, I don't feel awkward lying because I'm fooling everyone and they all think I'm telling the truth. Okay, this is the two different pshatim in Erev Parshios. Obviously, one could go a lot further and investigate exactly what difference does it make, whether it can be made as padav or not, and that's a very sophisticated issue, and to investigate and to get into the machlokes, you've been time of the rivantos, but we're not getting into that now. This is the two basic shots in Erev Parshios. This is all, by the way, as opposed to the Manda Omar, ain't Erev Parshios Kasam Tan, right? There's also Manda Omar who says there's no Erev Parshios Kasam Tan, which is a big machlok, is exactly what he says, but let's just get the basic idea. How about the Manda Omar ain't Erev Parshios? What does he hold? The man number in Erev Parshios holds that he who's that is Pshuto Kamashmo. What is Kiyuz that talking about? It's talking about, it's not talking about halva in a different parsha. It's not talking about one type of ikadon. It's talking about the classic kind of ikadon that's mentioned in the Chumash. What's the Chumash mentioned? The guy claims Nigdabu, right? Kiyuz that, he says Pshuto Shal Mikra is about Kikadon the Tainas Nensu. Again, Nensu and Nigabu being the same thing. That's it. Pash Pshat and the Chumash. The talking about where I say, where's my cow? You say it was stolen. The Chumash says, Kiyuzem, Muda Mixas as Chayim. In which case, the halacha is that even in a case of Tainas Nensu, Kol for Hakol is Potter. And Moda B'miktas is Chayav, again, not the way we're used to from when we learn in elementary school Hamafgid, right? Basically, if I say, where's my cow, you say it's stolen, you don't have to swear. You only have to swear if you say, if I say, where's my two cows, and you say one of them was stolen and one of them wasn't. Or that's at least one sheet. There is taka of big machlokes Rishonim quoted in Tosfos and Baba Kama about the mandar ein erev parshios. Basically, does the mandar ein erev parshios hold that you need, there's one day that you need three cows? You're only chayiv if you say one cow I gave back, one cow I admit, and one cow was stolen. And some Rishonim hold, no, you only need two cows, one that was nensu, one that was stolen. And then within that second day, there's a machlokes. Well, if one nensu and one I'm giving back, what about what I'm giving back and what I deny? What would he say? Okay, that's what the Tosfos Baba Kama deals with at great length. Okay, let's leave it for now. Now, that's one technical point. What does Erev Parshios mean? Two basic approaches and two different interpretations. The Gemara, when they bring in Erev Parshios Baba Kama, says, what's the yisod of Erev Parshios? That halva is different because of Einon Amei's Panav Neval Chovo. So there are two different shots of what that is, which come out of the two different readings of Erev Parshios. Now, the the other technical issue I want to deal with is Tosus de Rassel Divrei Kol Ein Dinehem Din. Tosus here has a machlokes. or as a question starting with, it says Divrei Hakol Ein Dinehem Din. Divrei Kol is a rather strong formulation. So says two questions that he's going to answer the same way. What is his two questions? The first question is, what do you mean Divrei HaKol? Rabbi Abbo says Divrei HaKol. What's Rabbi Abbo based on in the end? Remember, what are we counting or go in the end? Erev Parshus Kosov Khan. Since Erev Parshus Kosov Khan, therefore we equate Milva and Pikadon. Since we equate Milva and Pikadon, we equate Hodas Vavolos to Gzeos HaKabalos. And in both cases, we say you need three Mumchim. Okay, Midrabanan, they changed the Mumchim, but they left the three. Says that's based on Erev Parshus Kosov Khan. But isn't there a Tana who holds in Erev Parshus Kosov Khan Tosa says, right? There's another Tana, right? Who's that Tana? He quotes the Lashon. Rami Bar Chana, who says, Arba Shomer Tzichin Tfir B'Mitzas, who says, even if you say it was stolen, you're still only Chayim if you're Moda B'Mitzas. Right? So doesn't that other Tana admit there's no Erev Parshios? And if that Tana says no Erev Parshios, then you shouldn't need three. So how can he say everyone? And Tosa's the second question is from Reb Yochanan. V'od kasha, the Rabbi Yochanan. So he says, okay, maybe you can be docha that. You could say when he says all tanam, he means all tanam that I acknowledge authoritative. And that brisa I think is wrong in the first place. It's not an authoritative brisa. There's some other rabbi who said any brisa that's not in the Tosefta, that's what we call mistam erochia ravoshia, is not really a trustworthy brisa. Okay, but then he has a second question, and he says the Rabbi Yochanan holds that ain't Erev Parshios Kosov Khan in Bava Kamma. And yet, in the Yerushalmi, he says you need three Dayanim. And likewise, in Yevamos, he says a ger needs three Dayanim. So, it's basically the same stira. How can you say, if he has ain't Erev Parshios, then Mehekhi Teshi three Dayanim outside of Xelos V'Chavelos? Okay, that's Tosfos' question. Right? You can always have a more technical answers or changing your assumptions. Right? The assumption of Tosfos' question is the Pashut Pshat in our Gemara. What's the assumption of the question? If you hold any or partials, then you don't need three, right? That's what Gemara says, right? So the assumption is that if any or partials, then you don't need three outside of Xelos V'Chavolos. Right, that's the assumption. So here there are two stiras, right? The first stira is Rabbi Abahu says Divrei HaKol. What's the problem? Divrei HaKol would be even Rabbi Bar Chama, not Rabbi Bar Chama, the Brisa told me Rabbi Bar Chama. How do you say Divrei HaKol? One Brisa holds there's no Erev Parshios, but everyone holds you need three. Right? That was his first question. His second question was Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Rabbi Yochanan in Bava Kamma he holds ain Erev Parshios, but in the Yerushalmi he holds you need three, and in Yevamos, he also holds by Geirus that you need three. And the only mucker by Geirus you need three is because it has the Lashon Mishpat by Geirus, which indicates that it's like Dinei Mamonos, right? There's no other reason to need three for Geirus, Dayanim for Geirus. Okay, so you could try to give a technical answer. Tosfos tries to give a technical answer of Yabahu. What's his technical answer of Yabahu? Tosfos says no. That price doesn't count. It's not a stira. How could that brisa hold Einei or Parshios and still need three? That brisa doesn't count because it wasn't taught by Rabbi Chiya or Oshia, and therefore it is not an authoritative. It is not an authoritative brisa. The what was I going to say? One second. The Margolius Hayam also gives another dachik answer. He says here that maybe divrei kol is lav dafka. Lav dafka just means divrei most of them. All right, could be. Margolius Hayam, since it's cut and fall, says divrei hakol is lav dafka. In which case, it's not a question. Didn't mean everyone needs three. Just meant most tanoim. You know, maybe he happened to be talking about some tanoim. Then he said, all this time I'm talking about what? Yeah, exactly. How about Rabbi Yochanan? So here, the Tosus Rush gives a technical answer, although he doesn't deal with the Rishami. But the Tosus Rush says, this is a big chiddush actually in Halacha Maisa, which we don't pass in like. Tosus Rush says, nah, Geirus only needs three lechatchila. He didn't really mean Geiris Midoraisa absolutely needs three. He just meant Lechachila, there it goes there, that it's proper to have three just to make it look, you know, like a very serious kind of din. But Geiris doesn't really need three. Because Geiris starts close to me. He never said, Shnayim She, you know, She Giru, Ein Giru, Sehem Geiris. He just said, it needs three. So it needs three means Lechachila Midrabanan. But, really, doesn't need three. Okay, he doesn't give an answer for the Rishalmi, unless you just say that the Rishalmi is a different sort of the Bavli, but it's the same Yochanan.
At the end, what? Because you can't say what I said before. It's
yeah, he doesn't. Right there, he's sort of stuck on. We don't really have a good technical answer for a Yochanan from the Rishalmi. The Rishalmi is very mafurish that any less than three Dayanim is not valid. Oh, the truth is that we can find an answer. That's not really true. But at least that you could say that that's only Dibdarabana. We'll get to that a little later. But Tosos doesn't have an answer to this, at least at this point in the Gemara. Tosos doesn't have an answer to this. So so Tosos says, in the end, we just have to reject, right, our assumption. How do we reject our assumption? We answer everything by saying, even if there's no Eruv Parshios, you can still learn Hodos V'Halvaos from Zelos V'Chavalos and require, right, Shlosha. Right, you can still learn from Hodas Valvos, it still requires Shlosha. How? How can you learn if not for Eruv Parshios? So what does Tosa say? Tosa says, Mishpat Echad. Right? So how? Tosa says, Mishpat Echad. And The Chiddush Aran quotes here Rabbeinu David, and the Ramban says the same thing later in Daf Tov Gimel, that one piece. So the Ran, the Shem Rabbeinu David, and the Ramban, and Daf Tov Gimel also says this. They just says, by a simple extrapolation, Yilmad Soso Min HaMefurash. You just learn one from the other. Meaning that's called a binyanav. We always extrapolate things, right? What's he saying? It's not as if the Torah said three by... it's not as if the Torah said three by Gzilos V'Chavolos and one by Dos Alvos. Said three by Gzilos V'Chavolos. It didn't say anything out of Dos Alvos. If it didn't say anything, then then we should learn where it didn't say from what it did say. Obviously, there's an interesting, subtle underlying machlokes here, which we're not going to analyze now, which is that the Rebbein and the Rabban think that Hodos Havos and Zeus Havos are really very close together. You can just learn one from the other without a makor. Well, Tos assumes, no, you need a drasha, either a parshios or a mishpat echad, lachem. Okay. Then Tosos in the so that's the then what does our Gemara mean? Doesn't our Gemara sound like it's only if you learn Erev Parshios and otherwise not? Since that's not what the Gemara meant. The Gemara was just using Erev Parshios as an example. What the Gemara meant was this. It sounded like Gemara saying, if you have Erev Parshios, you can learn three by Dos Lavos, and if not, not. No, what the Gemara meant was, if you have Erev Parshios or any other svar to compare them, then you should need three and Mumchin. And if you don't have a svar to compare them, then you shouldn't need three and you shouldn't need Mumchin. That's all Gemara was saying. It wasn't Davka Erev Parshios. Gemara was just saying, Mimad Hashach. I don't care if it's Erev Parshios, I don't care if it's Mishpat Echad, I don't care if it's Yimel Sassim Minam Furish. Mimad Hashach. If you learn one from the other, you should need three Mumchin. And if you don't learn one from the other, you should need one head yot. What makes you require three head yot? And then we answer Midrabanan.
Isn't Tos assuming that the Maksha in the Gemara does not hold in any other possible way of
learning the head yot? One second.
That's why it says that they come up with this possibility because they wanted to maintain the sheet of the Maksha.
Okay, fair enough, right? The Ron really says more along the lines of what I was just saying. And Tulsa says we're just maintaining the sheet of the Maksha. Okay, fair enough. The Agav, the Tulsa just has a question, which I'm not going to answer now. Hold on. If Mishpadech is such a good idea, what's the other side? How come there's a Mandamer who doesn't compare them, right? Or assumes there's a possibility of not comparing them. Why doesn't everyone have to learn Mishpat Echad? Okay, then it gives different answers as to what the svara of those who don't learn Mishpat Echad, right? So Tosfos gives a svara that maybe Mishpat Echad is just equating Mamonos to Nefashos, but not equating Mamonos to each other. And he goes through a whole discussion, and the other Rishonim discuss, so we're not going to get into that now. Let's save. We need the time we have left for the last Tosfos. Dibur Masul Liboy. Right, okay, we discussed almost all the Tosfos here. So we'll tell the Tosfos to come back to next time. Liboy. Tosfos here has a very, very important question because it really starts to crack apart an important element of the sugya and really underlying the entire concept of Bezdin. Libay nami mumchin. Teima Tosfos says the mashbahach matim yotos midichsev Elohim. It's pretty clear in our parsha that why do you need mumchin? Because of Elohim. And we know that because it's something which is written in the parsha of Zeil Sechavos, right, which we mentioned here. Right? But it's a steer to get in the Parakamagarish. What happened? Abaye, I think, found Rav Yosef, if I'm not mistaken, who was forcing a man to give his wife a get, and said, how can you do that? After all, he was Rav Yosef. He wasn't Rabbi Yosef, right? Rabbi means smicha. Rav means not smicha, right? Like in the old days of America, the difference between rabbi and reverend. Except for the fact that smicha was lost in some technical fashion, and so, you know, Rav Yosef was a very, very qualified Talmid Chacham, he just happened to not have smicha. And that's why in the Israeli Amoraim are often called Rabbi, and the Babylonian Amoraim are often called Rav, because as we'll see, there's no smicha in Chutz Laretz. Now, Abai found Rav Yosef in Chutz Laretz, who was forcing a man to give his wife a get, and said to him, how can you do that? I'm an head yotos. No, we're all head yotos, right? I mean, we're big talmidei chachamim, Abai and Rav Yosef. You don't want to mess with them, but they don't have smicha. And it says, ein la mishpatim. How can you mishpatim Hashem tosim lefneim? Lefneim lo lefnei akum, lefneim lo lefnei head yotos. Okay, and then he answers, that's okay, we're doing the shlichos of the mumchen. So Tos says, hold on a second. What excludes head yotos? Is it Elohim or is it lefneim? Right? The Yesh Lomar, so Tosos here has an answer, or at least half an answer. The Yesh Lomar, the Hassam, it seems to be a chloksi in the back of the Tos, but this is an answer, half an answer. The Yesh Lomar, the Hassam, a matinami lifnehem, shim de lifnehem, koya Elohim, the Haka, Kolomar, lifnehem, the Yonim, Rosh Makam Akir, we have again, perish the country, shim de koya, shim de king, aksum, so parsh, mishpatim, shalom, olahar, chuli, shim, sanhedrin. Okay. So here he brings about Chlokes, Rashi, and Tosfos, which is also found on the daf there in Gittin, how to interpret this drush of Lifnehem. How do we know Lifnehem? Lifnehem just is in front of them. Them could be anybody. How do you know Lifnehem means Mumchen and not Goyim or Hegyotos? So Tosfos says, it's not a Stira. It's the same drasha. Lifnehem is going on what's upcoming. It's going on the future, the later psukim. Eilam is but Masher Tassim Lifnei, the people who are going to be mentioned later in the parsha. Later in the parsha is Elohim. Eilam is but Masher Tassim Lifnei Ha Elohim. So it's not two different drushas. Lifnehem is just working off the drusha of Elohim. Rashi says it's not going on the later psukim, but the earlier psukim. Right? It says beforehand, Vayal Moshe, Be'arona, Dabba, Bihub, Shuvim, Yizek, Be'Israel, Vayirum, I'm not even going to say what it says later. In the next pasuk there. But that Sanhedrin, Shuvim, Yizek, Be'Israel went up to Harsinai. And Eilam, Mishpatim, Shuvim, if they have, these Mishpatim should put in front of the Sanhedrin, the Shuvim, Zakenim. What are Shuvim, Zakenim? They're Jewish Mumchim. So therefore, you have to get in front of Jewish Mumchim and not in front of Goyim and not in front of Hegyotos. So for Rashi, it really is two totally independent drushos, and it's a stira. Why are there two independent drushos? You know, unless Rashi's going to say it's just a machlokas asugis, but you know, it seems to be a. Don't know yet. Okay, so that's Tosos tying against Rashi. Now, the little bit of a tricky part about Tosos is: has Tosos really answered his question? He says, why do you need two different drushas, Elohim and Lifnehem? Actually, well, okay, let's just be fair. Tosus's question is astira. Over here, we darsh it from Elohim, and over there, they darsh from Lifnehem. It's astira. What's the answer to the astira? The answer to the astira is they're both darshing from Elohim, because the antecedent of Lifnehem is Elohim. Okay, that answered the stira for Rashi. It's a real stira, because the antecedent of Lehem is Shimon Zakenim, and it's the stira between two different sukkahs. But if you ask it in a different way, it becomes a little trickier. Ask not is it a stira, but why do we need redundant drushas? Why do we need Elohim if we have Lefnehem? Why do we need Lefnehem if we have Elohim? In which case, Tosfos answered why we need Lefnehem if we have Elohim, and why we need Elohim if we have Lefnehem? Well, he's answered halfway. Why do we need Elohim? Otherwise, you wouldn't know what Lifnei meant. We obviously need Elohim. Without Elohim, Lifnei wouldn't mean anything. It wouldn't have an antecedent. Right? If it hadn't said Elohim, Lifnei wouldn't have been darshan. It would have just been Lifnei people. Lifnei, I don't know what it would have been. Lifnei, who knows how they would have darshan? Lifnei ox owners? Lifnei pit diggers? Who knows? Lifnei watchmen? But Tosa still is a little unclear. Once you have Elohim, why do you need Lifnehem? Let me just put that on the board to be very clear about this. Because Tosfos is asking in a funny way. And, of course, what the question of Tosfos is going to affect how you read the rest of Tosfos. I'm asking it not as a stira, but as a redundancy, right? Classic. Why do you need, you don't need to learn the same thing in two different psukim, right? So, why do you need Elohim? Well, I'll feel comfortable writing some Elohim without getting into what the deepest levels of Rem is. Clearly, I mean here the judges, right? Why you need Elohim if you have Lifnehem? Why do you need Lifnehem if you have Elohim? So Tosfos has really only answered one of these questions, right? That's what the acronymy are trying to tease out. Tosfos has only answered one of these questions if you think about it logically. Which question is the answer? This one. Well, obviously. Because without Elohim, you wouldn't know what Lifnehem meant. Without Elohim, you wouldn't know what Lifnehem meant. Lifnehu. So obviously you need Elohim. But it still begs the question, so why do you need Lifnehem? Once you have Elohim, why do you need Lifnehem? After all, the Torah could have just said Elohim. From Elohim we learn that you need Mumchen. You need Smuchen, obviously not Goyim, obviously not Hedotos. Why does it also have to say Lifnehem? So did Tosos relate to that question here?
Can you say Tosos is saying that the word Lifnehem is just like a reference to Elohim?
It is. do you need this extra reference? Why couldn't it just say Eila Mishpatim Asher Tasem or Eila Mishpatim? So according to...
But at that point, wouldn't the cash push be better in relation to the Gemara and give him...
Yeah, the same, okay.
I mean, his cash is an unsuitable, his cash is on the Gemara.
It's a cash, yeah, in a chalami. So this is the machloks in the Bach and the Ketos. According to the Bach, Tosfos is answering this question on itself, meaning I stop before Venir Lefarish. The machloks in the Bach and the Ketos is... When Tosfos says Nir Lefarish, is that Aliba? What's the machlokes of Tosfos? The Rashi or the Tosfos? When the Nir Lefarish answering up Rashi or going back to explain himself? Like, here's Rashi, Rashi stuck, Nir Lefarish, I'll save Rashi. Or, right, that is the Tosfos shot. Or, no, Nir Lefarish, Rashi's stuck, Rashi's dead, I don't like Rashi, I'm Tosfos, I don't save Rashi. I'm now explaining my own Shita. So according to the Bach, Tosfos is going on and explaining his own Shita. Right? The Nir Lefarish. The Nir Lefarish, the Bach says, according to Tosfos, and the Tosfos says, no, they're going back and defending Rashi. I hope I don't have the backwards. I will make sure I don't have the backwards. What does the Bach say here? Tosfos. This is what Tosfos is saying according to the Bach. He's saying, the Nir Lefarish, I still have one loose end to tie up. I've explained why it's not a steer and why Lefnehem is based on Elohim, but why do you need Lefnehem? The Nir Lefarish, Dibigitin, Linimili, Dikfia, Iri. Gittin is talking about in the autumn of Kfia, of forcing. There's judging, and then there's forcing. I can judge and say who's right and who's wrong, and now you're halachically obligated. You have the right to something. But that's not the same as using violence, as using force. When I want to use force, that's called music fiyai. After all, what was the case there? He wasn't paskining on Gittin. Abaye didn't see Rav Yosef adjudicating Gittin. Ah, the husband and wife came to court, and Abaye, Rav Yosef said, you're right and you're wrong. Or you're half right and you're half wrong. No. He was beating the guy up until he gave a get. So, that's what Abaye brings it on. Abaye Ashkech Rav Yosef, Abaye Yosef, Ma'aseh Gittin. Ma'aseh means forcing. Amrle, Vehat Na'adon Had Yotzes Anan. Elohim is talking about judging, and Lefnehem is talking about Kfiya. How do they know? He's just made something up based on the context of Gittin. Lefnehem is talking specifically about using force. How do we know Lefnehem? Where does it say Elam Mishpatim Hashem to say Lefnehem? Where does it say anything about force? It talks about judgments. No, Mishum Tadarshina, Lekama, Miasher Tosim, Elam Kli Adayanim, Shem Husima. The Lashon of Tosim means the Kli Adayanim, the violent tools of the Dayanim, right, that they beat people with. That's called Sima, right? Very similar to what other Darshan do we have. Sima means to... Or okay, I was thinking of Som Tosim Alecha Melech, right? Okay, there it's a little less strong, so you must have lecha, but Sima is clear of the Dayanim. The Lashon of Sima is a remez to the coercive power of the Dayanim, that they beat you up. Nowadays, they put you in jail. I'm not sure which is worse. Depends which jail they put you in. So, Tosfos, according to the Bach, says, what do you mean, Lifnehem? And this is how the Bach explains, Lifnehem, to show that all Fia needs mumchim. All kfiya needs mumchim. Even gittin and things which don't fall under Elohim. Elohim didn't say anything about gittin, right? Even gittin and, you know, cases unrelated to Gzelos v'chavolos. Right? Gzelos v'chavolos means you can't even open your mouth if you're not a mocha. You can't even say a verbal opinion if you're not a mocha. And according to some people, they are partial, so those chavolos, you can't open your mouth and say an opinion if you're not a mocha. But gittin, there's no mocha for gittin. Maybe anyone can say an opinion about gittin. Anyone can say whatever they want about gittin. But to force someone, you need mumcha. And that's the chiddush, that you need mumcha to force people, even if it can't be learned from zeilos v'chavalos. You need to get into force people. Or Rabbi Yonah suggests maybe, you know, we're talking about Dinei Malkus, which can't be learned from zeilos v'chavalos, but clearly forcing people. Okay.
Why would you think you don't need them? Kol mi shein lo b'tiv b'tiv kedushin. I mean, that clearly is talking about a mumcha.
No. Keep in mind, mumchen here means technical smicha that Rav Yosef didn't have, right? We're not talking about just knowing your Evan Ezer. We're talking about a certain special smicha, right? We're talking you have to be not smarter than Rav Yosef, but more duly authorized than Rav Yosef. That's one pshat. The Ketzos clearly doesn't seem to have this pshat. The Ketzos says, no, Ketzos is not elucidating his own shita. Another pshat might be, and this is what it sort of sounds like from the Rashba. I'm not sure if anyone holds this, but maybe the Rashba also doesn't mention anything about Kfiyah. And the Ketzos doesn't think Tosfos is about Kfiyah. So says, that part about Kfiyah said for Rashi. For Tosfos, there's nothing special about Kfiyah. So how might they read, explain why you need Elohim? So maybe they would say that that even paskening gittin and all issues requires mumchen. This is the machlokes that the Ketzos has with the Bach in terms of how to read the Shita of Tosos. The Bach says, Elohim teaches you judging and maybe Hodas Avos needs Mumchen. The Vnam teach you Kfiyah of everything needs Mumchen. The Ketzos says back to the Bach, he says that no. The last line, Tosos, Leka Chilik Emilu the Kfiyah Ladin Ba'alma. Vekar Chilik Arak the Paris Rashi. They don't do anything Kfiyah and Din Ba'alma. Even Dilma, meaning even if Rav Yosef hadn't been forcing to give a get, had just been judging and saying, you are halachically obligated by God's law to divorce your wife, even that would have required smuch and Abai would have had the same tine against him. Because the Nehem is not about Tfiya for Tosos, that's only for Rashi. It means anything a Dayan says needs Mumchen, even if it's not Xeos or Chavos and nothing to do with Xeos or Chavos. Obviously, that Shita would, that then Abai would be against the possibility of our Gemara of Emir Parsha. So not requiring Mumchen, okay?
Doesn't the Ketzos agree in the first part of this quotation, like the halacha that comes out of the Bach, that really you only need mumchen if there's kfiyah, or if it says Elohim in the parsha?
No, I thought he says that's what Rashi holds, but that's not what Tosfos holds. I thought Gufa, that's what he's denying, right? If you look at the last one, Ikra Chil Shaf Dos Mi Lekfiyah Dinu Me'alo Rekla Pirush Rashi Dikoy Yishim Zekanan. But not for Tosfos. I mean, the Ketzos thinks Rashi holds that. Yes. Okay.
So,
this gets into a known to be Huda that has to do with Rashi and that Beis Amalaf will come back to. But the mainstream 99% shot is that writing a get is a private issue between a husband and wife that doesn't require any judge of any type. Meaning, don't I know nowadays you go to Beis Amalaf to write a get. The mainstream opinion is that going to Beis Amalaf to write a get is a minhag. A get can be done privately between husband and wife. Midah Raisa, they might not even need Eidim. That's the Mishnah on Daf Pezayin of getting Midah Raisa. It could be that if he writes in his own handwriting, he might not even need Eidim. That might be able to do it mamash in private. So writing a get, that's not a judgment at all. That's just business. That's a private contract. Obviously, private contracts don't need mumchen. It's the same as writing a lease for an apartment. However, judging who's right and who's wrong about a get, even without forcing, like nowadays, doesn't get force anyone to do anything, but let's say a wife goes, she sues her husband at best, and I want you to divorce me. I know they can't force you, but they're going to tell you. That would need mumchen. Okay. The third most interesting pshat within the Derech of Tosos, of course, is before we get to this, this is the Ramban and the Ran. Before we get to this, we should just point out how Rashi fits in here, right? Rashi, is there a way to answer up Rashi? Again, for Rashi, it is a little hard to tell, because sometimes Rashi might be perfectly happy saying that two sugyas have nothing to do with each other. So you could say for Rashi, it's a machlokes das sugyas. Our sugya thinks you learn it from Elohim and not from Lufnam. That sugya thinks you learn it from Lufnam and not Elohim. Could say it's a machlokes das sugyas, but if you want to assume that Rashi does have an answer, right? Which we, at least since Tosos was written, we try to when we can. Then the Tosos understands that Tosos is really answering up Rashi. And even if Tosos wasn't, it could be a good answer, right? So how do you answer up Rashi? So the Tosos, according to the Tosos, who says the end of Tosos is dealing with Rashi, has an answer for Rashi, which is similar, you know, almost similar. What would he say? He would say that Lefnehem is dealing with Kfiyah. So why do you need Elohim and not Lefnehem to teach you that Gzelos v'chavolos need Mumchen even without Kfiyah? Right? Why do you need Elohim? You need Elohim to teach you, even if everyone's willing to listen. Two people show up to Beis Din and say, we are from Yidden, we do what the Beis Din says. We follow halacha, you don't need to force us. Then one guy says, I'm 100% right, he's 100% wrong, but I follow the halacha. The other guy says, I'm 100% right, he's 100% wrong, but I follow the halacha. We're stuck, even though we both think we're 100% right, the halacha requires us to tell it to you three people and do whatever you say, and we'll follow the halacha. No one has to beat anyone up. How does that? You need Elohim. Because Elohim is talking about without Kfiyah. Why do you need Lefnehem? You need Lefnehem, the exact same thing as we wrote above for Tosos, to teach you that all Kfiyah needs Mumchen, even Gittin and cases unrelated to Gzeros V'chavolos. I keep writing unrelated to Gzeros V'chavolos because I want to leave myself the leeway to put Hadas V'chavolos on either side, depending on whether you hold your parshios. Okay, so for Rashi, we can answer up and say almost the same thing as the Bach says for Tosos. Again, it's that line of the way the Tosos reads Rashi, Tosos. Now I'm going back and fixing up Rashi. How about you go back and fix up Rashi? You need Lefnehem to teach you that Kfiyah needs Mumchen, even in just matters of marital relationships and things that are not in the parsha of Gzeilos V'chavolos. So why do you need Elohim to teach that Gzeilos V'chavolos needs Mumchen, even if you're not forcing anyone, you're just expressing a verbal opinion? Okay, these are the three basic drachma. I have to explain the Rambam and the Ran. What's different from the Rambam and the Ran, as opposed to everyone else, is of course that everyone else is basically saying there's one principle called needing mumchen. We just want to figure out in what case you need mumchen and what cases you don't. Well, maybe only Gzeilos V'chavolos, maybe all cases, maybe Kfiyah. The Rambam and the Ran really have an entirely new perspective and take this to another level by saying no. It's not expanding the scope of the need for mumchen. It's not like the need for mumchen, and then we expand the scope in different gemaras. No, it's two different definitions of needing mumchen, right? What are the two different ways of needing mumchen? They say, Elohim teaches you. They say, Elohim means it's not valid, or Hedyotos is not valid. From Elohim, we know it's not valid. Meaning, if we go to Hedyotos and they judge you and they're not Mumchen, the judgment is not valid. You don't have to pay. You can say, no, I'll go to another court of Mumchen. What do we need Elohim? What do we need Lefnehem? Even if you think about it, they say we would die in the Psukim. Elohim means, how do you judge? Ad Elohim, Yavod Varshdehem, Asher Yavshion Elohim. When is the judgment valid? When do you have to pay? If it's Mumchen. If it's Hedyotos, you don't have to pay. But we might have thought Hedyotos, you don't have to pay. But it's not the end of the world. What does Lefnehem add? Lefnehem adds, not only isn't it valid, but it's usur. It's an aveira to go to Hedyotos. That's a chiddush of Lefnehem. Eilam mishmatim asher tosin Lefnehem v'lo v'Hedyotos. You are allowed to bring your mishpatim to Mumchen, you're not allowed to bring your mishpatim to anyone else, and it's an aveira, and that's why. What about Ba'isid Rabbi Yosef? Not only might there be a question in the validity of your psak, but forget about the validity of your psak. You're doing an aveira. How could you do an aveira? It's an aveira for Hedyotos to judge. So here he says that it's aser to go to Hedyotos for din. That's the chiddush of the other pasuk. There's the validity, and then there's the matter of Isra Hedyot. A lot of things are not valid, right? But they're not aser, right? A lot of things are not valid, but they're not, but they're not aser. The but in this case, not only is it not valid, and of course, if it's not valid, that creates various problems, right? If it's not valid, I might be a goslin if I took the money, right? If it's not valid, it might be a shash of ish in the get. But besides not being valid, there's a fundamental iser. It's aser to go to Hedyotos. That's the chiddush of Rambam Daf Chof Gimel, right? The Rambam, again, he only has a few pieces on Hedyotos, and Daf Chof Gimel, he, in the Sugya Bar Kol, Shasurya, he summarized all these in Yanim, quoted by the chiddush of Ran on our Sugya.
There, the answer is shlichu sayu kavdina.
So the Rabban Ran says not they're very meduyik. Not only is the iser different. Our sugi says the iser is Elohim. That's sorry. Not only our sugi says the problem is you don't have Elohim. That's sugi. The problem is you're not doing mufneihem. The solution is different. Our sugi says shlotil delz leinov. And that sugi says shlichu sayu. Says that's exactly what we mean. Our sugi says the problem is that it's not valid. They made it valid. Shlotil delz leinov. That Gemara says, forget about whether or not it's valid. It's usher. How can you do an isser? The answer is it's not an usher. It's usher to go to Hedyotos and authorize the Hedyotos. But over here, the Hedyotos are the shluchim of the are the shluchim of the mumche, and therefore there's no isser.
So once you go to Husayu, then maybe the what do you have to say?
So this is we're going to have to get into this next time. But the answer probably is that okay, here I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Shlichusayu might not mean a regular shlucho shaladim kimoso, but it's in Lashon Aram here. Like, you can't really, a judge can't make a shliach to judge for him. That's
no
ludicrous.
So
the answer is very pashut. In terms of the isser of going against the authority of the mumchem, as long as they said you're a shluchim, you're not going against their authority, there's no isser. But that doesn't make it valid. To be valid, the mumchen actually have to hear the facts and come up with a conclusion. Who cares that the mumchen, as the Ran says, they say, we don't mind. We don't mind if you work under our authority. But the case was never heard by authorized experts. After all, to make it valid, the experts have to actually judge the case, not just say it's okay with us. They didn't actually judge the case, so to solve that problem, we need Niels Delphi Lovin. Okay, and we'll come back to that. Now, so that's the chiddush of the Ramban and the Ran, and where do they get this idea from, that Lefnei Hedyotos is an Isser? What inspires them to say that Lefnei Hedyotos is an Isser, not just not just a psul? Right, we darshan say Akum and then, and it's clear that Lefnei Akum is an Isser. The Gemara in Gittin says, right in that same passage, any place you see the courts of Goyim, you're not allowed to go there. It's usser. And the Rishonim quote from the Midrashim, even harsher language, right? Rashi the Mishpatim says, it's evil, you're usam, you're giving glory to the Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam says, as if you were blasphemed and rebelled against the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, by going to the Goyish. So clearly there's some Isser B'davar. Clearly there's an Isser to go to Erkoshel Goyim. It's not just that it's not Chal, it's a puzzle. It's not just a puzzle destiny. It's also to go to Erkoshel Goyim. So therefore, it's not so crazy. It's also to go to Erkoshel Goyim. It's also also to go to Erkoshel Yotos. Should be the same thing. That's where Balaram got it from the parallel to Akum. Very, very reasonable makar. The truth is, in the Rambam, he doesn't say much about this. But what's interesting is the Rambam, at the very end, it might even be the last halacha of Hilchos Sanhedrin. I'm not sure. Yes, it is. And if it is, I think that's very significant. I mean, how did the Rambam end Hilchos Sanhedrin? Obviously, end with something that really makes the philosophical, he always likes to end with something that really brings home the philosophical point. Yeah, not with who this guy is, all the technical, a lot of technical details. How does he end with? Even though the psak might be the same, it so happens in this case they would issue the same psak. No one's taking any money that doesn't walk in. Hari said, Russia, Kilu Kiri, the Gide, the Hirim Yad, the Taurus Moshe, the Inu, Shinemar, the Inu, Shmatima, Sher, the Simple, the Hamlof, Namlof, the Akalof, Namlof, the Hadiotos, etc. Here's talking about how terrible it is. Basically, what's he saying? He's saying that there's something unique and special about the Jewish judicial system which transcends just getting the right answer. You might have to get the same answer from a Jewish bezin and a goyish bezin in this case, but it's almost kfira to go to the goyish bezin. Why? Because the Jewish bezin system is unique in that it's not just getting the right answer in this case, but, you know, perhaps here's the remez, the havmina not to write on the board, that Elohim nitzav ba'adat el, right, that it's representing God in this world, it's representing the malchus and the mishpat, of Hashem. It's an entire system which isn't just getting the answer in one particular case or another particular case, but is leading the Jewish people in the right direction. We'll talk a lot this year about what the ultimate point of Bezdin is. So the Rambam says Bezdin is more than just getting the right answer in your particular case. Bezdin is about the Torah and Hashem's presence leading us, and therefore, if you go to the Goyim, it's tantamount almost to rejecting the Torah. He throws it in this halacha, lufnev lo ufnei akum, lufnev lo ufnei adyotos, which seems to be completely unnecessary, right? He didn't say anything about adyotos here, right? As a matter of fact, talking about people without smicha, he dealt with that a lot in the first paragraph or two, and he goes through all the technical details of our sukkah, and all of a sudden here he throws in lufnev lo ufnei adyotos. Why does he throw it in here? It doesn't belong at all. It doesn't, okay, but he doesn't always quote every drush of Chazal. It's not relevant to his point. So it could be that we can indict from this Rambam. I'm not sure. The truth is I really don't know the answer why he throws it in here. But perhaps we can indict from this Rambam that he holds like the Ramban and the Ran that the flame of Yotos is an iser. Meaning in Perak Aleph and Days, he discussed Elohim. He discussed when a Bezin is kosher and when a Bezin is not kosher. What's the proper herkev, that's the formation, what's the proper, you know, who's qualified to sit on the Bezin and who's not qualified to sit on the Bezin. Nothing to do with iser v'heter. He throws it at the end here, you should know. It's us to reject the Torah by going to Dainei Akum. There's also some Isser rejecting the Torah by going to Hedyotos. And it could be by Hedyotos here, he might mean actual ignoramuses, unclear. Or it could be means anyone not authorized under certain circumstances. But there's at least some aspect of something wrong with going to Hedyotos because you're also rejecting the Torah. The Torah gives you the Lochin. The Torah tells you where the Torah judges. You go to non-Torah judges, even if they're just Hedyotos. Also, it's not as bad. No one thinks it's bad as a crucial act. Also, there's some rejection of the Torah there. So it could be that's the hint of the Rambam, the holds like the Ramban, and the Ran. Okay, now I just want to mention, end with one interesting discussion, which is the Chiddush Ran here seems to have a very, very, very big chiddush, which is different than the Ramban al Torah. The Ramban al Torah discusses the same thing. What's the difference in the Chiddush Ran here and the Ramban al Torah? Right, what if you both agree? What if you both agree? So the Ramban and the Chiddush Ran both agree. You can't go to that Arkos Shel Akum even if you both agree. Now, this is a very controversial issue in the modern world. Right? Can we? But the truth is, when it comes to court cases, you never have a case where they both agree on anything anyway. So this doesn't come up so much. Usually in court cases, people go to court because they don't agree about anything, starting with the proper forum for adjudication and ending with everything else. But it's very rare that anyone goes to either type of court agreeing on anything. But even if you both agree, you both say, you know what, I'd rather go to the Goyish court than to Bezdin. The Ramban and the Ran, and it's also Shuk Rashba quoted in the Beis Yosef, and it's also all the poskim, agree that that is still usser and that is just as bad. Right, you're not allowed to go to the Erkosh. Not only can't I force sue you and force you to go to Erkosh Shel Akum, we can't even both agree to go to Erkosh Shel Akum. No, we have to believe in the Torah judgment, not the Goyish judgment. I'm not going to answer this now, but the post will assume everyone agrees to that. It's not so poshut that everyone agrees to that. If you look in the Torah's quotation of Sefer Trumos in Simon Chaf Vav and the Beis Yosef's quotation of the Rabbi Yeruchim there, it's not so poshut that all Rishonim agree to that, but we will assume for now that everyone agrees, the Ramban and the Ran, that are Koshal, Akam, or Usser, even Midashnehem, even if they both agree, even if they're both Mekabel. How about Hegyotos? So let me just make myself a little... Erko Shavatom. It's clear that they're Usser. Usser and the Ramban and the Ran and other Rishonim and Achronim add Va'afilu Va'askamas Shnei Hatzadim, as we would say nowadays. Even if they both agree, would you rather be judged by a Goyish court than by rabbis? Doesn't matter, it's still Usser. How about Hegyotos? How about Hegyotos? What? So you might say that's what the Ramban says on the Torah. The Ramban says even though we darshim from the same pasuk with name of the Akum with name of the Hegyotos, there's a difference. Akum is also to go to no matter what. Hegyotot is only usher to go to if I sue you and force you to go to the Beit Din of Hegyotot. Right? Let's say there are three shmos, three ignoramuses, who set up shop in town and decided we're judging everyone. Right? And I force you and everyone, you know, there's a lot of social pressure, maybe they even are connected to the police chief, and I say, nope, I demand, I'm forcing you to judge in front of these Hegyotos, that's usher. But if we both pick an arbitration panel, right? Then, yeah, we can flip a coin, we do whatever we want. After all, Nevinal Ayaba, Nevinal Ayavicha, says in their parent, Nevinal Ayashlosha Roy Bakar, right? You're allowed to accept a psulin. You're allowed to go to wherever you want. The Gemara Daf of Gimel, which is their Kosh Shal Hakom, the beginning of the third parent. Their Kosh Shemesuria, which some Rishonim hold were Hedyotos. So says the Ramban. It's usher to go in front of them bikfia, right? I don't mean bikfia. That sort of sounds like this. That's not what I meant. What's his lashon? I have it here, right? His lashon is, yes, sheyakov. Okay. Usher lakufa lavol mehem. You're not allowed to force the other guy to go in front of them, but mutter baskama shnehem. If you both agree, you can do it. You can flip a coin, right? You can do whatever you want. Says the Chidush Aran on Daf Beis on the Beis. He says, nope. Usher, he says, mamish like Akum. Usher afilo. It's also even if you both agree. That's a very fundamental achlokas. Now, a bit of a side problem is that the Ran in the Shoharan says Mefurs like the Ramban al Torah, and the Ran later on Daf Chof Gimel says the Erkot Shebesuria, which were valid, were total hediotos, were not really halachically valid judges. So in two places, the Ramban seems to be against what he says in this one place. No, that's not what it sounds like in the Shud, at least. And it's not even clear that Tanai the Halva'a would work if it's also in Baskama Shnehim. So that's a famous problem in reading the Ran.
For
sure, as I'll mention in a second. To answer that stira, you could say that. You probably have to say, and I saw this in one of the modern day poskim, but I don't remember whom. You probably have to say that the Ran, even when he says it's usher to go to Hedyotos, that's only if there are talmidei chachamim in town. That's only if you could go to. Mumchen, or at least people who are kasher dayanim al pi midrabanan. B'daf Chav Gimel, he's discussing some place where there are no B'nai Torah at all, and it could mean the Shuk also, he's discussing a place where there are no B'nai Torah, and that's probably the best way to answer the Stira, that, you know, he would admit to the Ramban if there's no B'nai Torah, so you're allowed to go to Hed Yotos, after all, you have no choice, but if there are B'nai Torah in town, then you're not allowed to go to Hed Yotos. That could be. There are other ways, but I have problems with all of them.
It's not really an ister of going to Hed Yotos.
Okay, so hold that thought for a second. I would just perhaps add that, we have 2 minutes, so I don't want to add too much. I would perhaps add that it's interesting that the Ran, if you guess what's the problem with Hed Yotos, the Ran gives you a very clear idea. What's the problem with Hed Yotos? The Ran says, what's the problem with Hed Yotos? What's the phrase he likes? Mishtamish b'kedrem shel mumchin. The Hed Yotos shouldn't usurp the authority of the mumchin. Right? The Hed Yotos shouldn't usurp the authority of the mumchin. So it could be that the Ran says, what the problem is, the Hed Yotos shouldn't think they're mumchin. They shouldn't water down the authority of the mumchin. In which case, he would say, even if you both accept them, at least if there are mumchim around, then they're usurping the authority of the mumchim. They're taking away the authority of the mumchim. It could be that the Ramban would say the problem isn't taking away the authority of the mumchim. The problem is just that they're not judging Al-Pi Torah. So if they're not judging Al-Pi Torah, then you can't sue someone and make them judge not Al-Pi Torah. That's an isser. That's denying the Torah. But if you both want to judge, to flip a coin, or to judge based on, you know, whatever logic you want, or whatever system you want, then you're allowed to do anything you want. You're allowed to make any compromise you want with your money if you both agree. So I'm not at all certain of this, but if you want to say what underlies this machlokes, could be the Ran holds the Isser of Hed Yotos is usurping the authority of the Mumchim. And therefore they should never usurp the authority of the Mumchim. Except maybe in those other Ran, if there's no Mumchim around. While the Ramban holds, the problem is not usurping the authority of the Mumchim. The problem is going against the Torah. So if I force you to go to the Yotos, that's going against the Torah. But if we both agree and it's merely a matter of money, we're allowed to make any compromise we want in money. So that's not going against the Torah.
But then why do you need the answer of Shlichus Sadu and that Gemara Gittin? The Ran is holding that only an Isser if you're going against the Torah.
The Ran or the Ramban?
The Ran. I mean, the Ran is holding it's only a problem if you're not, if they're not being done. That's the issue of going to the Yotos.
Maybe you mean the Ramban. The Ran, I said, is usurping the authority of the Mumchim. The Ramban, that is an excellent question. So you probably have to say that nonetheless, if they don't have smicha, then that still is in some way not the proper psak of the Torah. If there's no guarantee it's the proper psak of the Torah. Not into that. I just want to end with one point, because I only have 30 seconds left. For the Ramban, what is the difference between Akum and Hed Yotos? Why is Akum usher even, what makes Akum more chumer than Hed Yotos? And I think this is a very important point. For the Ramban, why is Akum more chumer than Hed Yotos? Yeah. And this is clear, and all the Achronim seem to agree. The reason Akum is more chumer than Hed Yotos, according to the Ramban, is not because of Yichus, is not because they're guy, that guy's a guy and this guy's a Jew. It's a guy represents a competing legal system and philosophy. A guy represents an alternate philosophy. Hed Yotos represent a lack of a philosophy, right? They're not so good at judging. They just do the best they can. But it's not an alternate philosophy. It's not an alternate religion or way of life. It's just a lack of philosophy. It's a guy standing, groping in the dark, trying to do the best he can. And therefore, I think that's very important. It's not a matter of yichus of a Jew or yichus of a guy. It's a matter of, are you betraying the Torah by going to a different legal system? Or are you just doing silliness and stupidity and inaccuracy? And then the Ramban would say, look, if you're betraying the Torah by going to another legal system, even if you both agree, you have no right to betray the Torah. But if you're just going to take a substandard, groping in the dark guess at justice, then it would be a terrible aveira to unilaterally force that to happen. But if you both agree, you can flip a coin. It's like flipping trenis nafkamina, that I put the Orach HaShulchan here. The Orach HaShulchan is ending a long discussion that starts the Shach, that really starts the Torah, and what he says is not unique to him. He just expresses it pithily and doesn't get into other details like the other Achronim. What does he say? He says, the Isser, even if you both agree to go to a guy, has nothing to do with being a guy. If you go to a guy and say, judge between us without a legal system, that's mutter. What's usser is the guyist legal system, not the person who's a guy. Therefore, he says, it's perfectly mutter to pick a sheikh and say, judge between us just based on common sense. That's perfectly okay. Or go to an arbitration panel, say, in this industry we use an arbitration panel, just judge us based on the industry standards. As long as it's not a goyish legal system, as long as it's not a goyish philosophy, then it's fine. It doesn't matter if he's a Jew or a guy. It matters if the issur is not the fact that he's a guy. It's the fact that it's a competing legal system. Therefore, Gorin even wants to say that it would not be, might be a different halachic problem of the Karavachecha, it would not be usher to have a goyish judge in a Jewish court. It would not be a problem with Nehem to have a goyish judge in a Jewish court, if they both agreed at least, or other circumstances, because it's a matter of the legal system, and that's the chat. The hedyotos are a lack of a legal system. The akum are an alternative legal system. And that's why an alternative legal system is rebelling against the Torah. A lack of a legal system is just not keeping the Torah the way we're supposed to, and if you both want to, that's fine. That nafkamina cuts one way is if the guy is not using a legal system, it's perfectly mutter. The other nafkamina, which is where it gets very controversial, is if you have a guy not using a competing legal system, what if you have a Jew using a competing legal system? So it's pasha, all the postmen agree. What if you go to guy's court and the judge happens to be Goldstein? It's still usher, because it's a guyish legal system. Who cares if the judge happens to be named Goldstein? Where this becomes a big issue is, what about Beit Mishpat in Dinat Yisrael? All the poskim except for one and a half are agree with this chazan issue. Rav Herzog wrote this, even though Menachem Elon tried to deny it, but I'm not sure what he meant by that, on page 1607. All the poskim agree with the chazan ish. All the poskim agree with the chazan ish. That Beit Mishpat in Dinat Yisrael is Erkos Shel Akum. Why? It's a Jewish judge in a Jewish state, in a Jewish everything. Yes, but it's a competing legal system. Who cares if it's an Avodah Zaradik legal system, a Christian legal system, a Muslim legal system, or a secular legal system? They're all saying they're better than the Torah. You're always rebelling against the Torah. Rabbi Herzog says, Adraba. It's worse to go to Beit Mishpat in Dinat Yisrael than to go to Sharia court or ecclesiastical court of the Catholics. Or Avodah Zaradik court. Avodah Zaradik court, you're at least saying it's terrible because you're joining the old Avodah Zaradik think they know better than the Torah. But this is even worse. You're saying the Jews know better than the Torah. At least the Jews should keep the Torah. Someone should be left. For one Jew to go to the Goyim and be against the Torah is bad. For a Jew to join the other Jews against the Torah, that's the worst. That's treason. That's the worst kind of treason. And therefore, all the poskim agree that even if you both agree, you can't go to Beit Mishpat, because that's not merely hedyotos. Hedyotos would be going to Borumot. This is a competing legal system, therefore it's Erkos Shel Akum, even though they're Jewish. I know of only one and a half poskim who disagree. Rav Gored, in the three-part article he wrote in Hatzofet before Kum HaMedina, which was republished into Hukali Yisrael, page 135 or something, of Rav Herzog. Rav Gored says no. He says the courts in the Dinat Yisrael are not Erkos Shel Akum. They're Jewish courts. Why are they Jewish courts if they don't use Torah law? And here, we're not getting into this now. But he says, because you to the call has power to make takanos, and even within the Torah, you're allowed to make new laws in Dini Mamonos, and new takanos mean Dini Mamonos, and that's still considered a Jewish court, even though it uses secular law, because the halacha gives room for that. Likewise, the one and a half poskim are of Goren, who is a very, very big posek. Just that he's always very radical and says different things than everyone else, not because he thought he was smarter than everyone else. I'm pretty sure because he was smarter than everyone else. But nonetheless, he has unique shitas. And Menachem Elon, in his Mishpat Ivri, page 1606 to 1607, even though he says, really, Medinat Yisrael needs to have Mishpat Ivri, needs to have Jewish law in their courts, says, and it's terrible if we don't have Jewish law in our courts, because his whole life was dedicated to trying to push Jewish law into the courts of Medinat Yisrael. But he says, even though it's a terrible shame to have a Jewish state courts don't have proper Jewish law, it's not a koshel akum, and he agrees with Rav Gorin. I don't think he quotes Rav Gorin, but he agrees with Rav Gorin and says that's not a koshel akum. That's Jewish courts, which have takanas and minhagim of using certain other laws. So here you get to a very, very fascinating machlokas. Is now, of course, if it was real from courts with rabbis with beards who happen to have certain takanas, I think everyone would agree that that's not usser. But it's a question of how you look at, right, this becomes a philosophical issue, how do you look at our secular state? Most poskim, even the Zionist poskim, even Rav Herzog, and even Rav Yisraeli, and, you know, even the real Zionist poskim say, nonetheless, the secular aspect of law in our country is a competition to the Torah. It's secularism versus Torah, and therefore it's a koshel akum, even if you both agree it's usher to go. Certainly it's usher, susa want to force them to go, as opposed to Rav Gorin and the Shofet Menachem Elon, who say, no, once this is the decision of the Jewish state, even if it's a suboptimal way of implementing it, nonetheless, that is the way the Jews decided to run their society, and therefore, that is just a perhaps less than optimal, Rav Gorin thought it was optimal, but he made certain tznayim, you have to compare them, they're talking about slightly different things. That is just a funny way of Jews having Jewish justice that's not exactly perfect, but that's still not a betrayal of the Torah. That's just the way we implement the Torah in certain circumstances, or the way we implement our religion in certain circumstances. Okay.
If you have a non-Jewish judge in
the Jewish
court.
So Rav Gorin wrote that's okay, because the non-Jewish judge is judging according to the Jewish system, because he holds secular courts count as a Jewish system. So he's mefurish matra that.
Well, what happens if there's a law in the Yad against the Torah?
So that's an interesting one. Rav Gorin seems to say this is all true if the laws of Medinat Yisrael are not against the Torah. Hashofet alone is comfortable with saying this even if the laws are against the Torah. So therefore, there might be a divergence. I mean, Rav Gorin was talking before there was a state, theoretically, of how you could do it in a way that wasn't like the Torah, but wasn't against the Torah. Judge Elon was talking about when there is a state, even if it's against the Torah legabre, so he was actually a little more liberal.
Okay. When there's a vacuum, but when there's not a vacuum, so what do you have to say?
Correct. Okay, so there's a lot more to say about this. I gave you that great Tchumen article, Art Shochem, and if you really want to get into it, but we'll pick up Mirz Hashem Thursday, 9:05, and we will, Blinetta will revisit some of these issues, and some aspects of this we'll even revisit very soon, but we'll go on to discuss a different aspect of the relationship between the Gemara and Gittin, and in Baba Kama, and in our sugya, mostly surrounding Tosos, the Ramaswas, Lotil, Delos, and Levin, which is a very, very, very